A reading from Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. And from chapter 11, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Deborah and James Fallows traveled the U.S. together several years ago, visiting dozens of small and medium cities around the country to answer the question of what's working in America today. They wrote articles for the Atlantic magazine along the way and published a book about the trip called Our Towns. They were particularly interested, according to reviewer Anthony Robinson, in towns that had come back from decline, even devastation, when a whole economy had collapsed or a longtime major employer had left or closed. One of the key drivers of an economic comeback are the people they call local patriots. In every community, every lively community, there were local patriots, people who came from all walks of life to provide leadership, energy, vision, and just plain hard work. Local patriots believe in their towns. They love their towns. The prophet Isaiah, whose song we heard in Tim's reading, lived in his own time of devastation and disorientation. It wasn't our towns, but it could have been something like it. At the same time as last week's prophet Hosea was holding forth in Judah to the south, Isaiah lived in Israel to the north and watched its downfall. The great power of Assyria invaded and conquered Israel in 732 before the Common Era, and the great northern kingdom then ceased to exist. Why would a good and powerful God allow this to happen to God's own people? Isaiah asks. And then the prophet responds. He says it's because the nation bore false fruits. Isaiah describes this using the metaphor that we heard about a farmer who works for years to make a pleasant vineyard. We see the work that goes into clearing stones from the land, planting the best vines there, nurturing their growth, and protecting them with a wall and watchtower. But the vineyard, Isaiah says, is unproductive. Instead of yielding grapes, it yields only wild fruit. Everything possible has been done to care for this vineyard, but it yields nothing of use. So the vine grower steps away from the project. Protective walls are pulled down. The vines are trampled. Weeds will choke out what remains in the vineyard. Even the rain will stop because this vineyard has been no good. At the end of the parable, the prophet Isaiah explains, "The vineyard is Israel, and God is the farmer." Ouch. God has done everything to win the nation's allegiance, but nothing comes from it. So now God's people, Isaiah says, are faced with generations of exile and calamity. But if you heard the second part from Isaiah chapter 11, you know that Isaiah is not just a doom and gloom prophet. Isaiah is actually what Deborah and James Fallows would call a local patriot, because he believes in the power of what is possible, even in the places of loss. He believes that things are not what they appear to be. Isaiah the prophet says, "God's good vineyard Israel has gone bad, yes, but in the places of destruction there will come forth new life. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse," Isaiah says, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots." This is a way of Isaiah hearkening back to the ancestral glory days of King David, grandson of Jesse. This new shoot that comes out of the stump of Jesse is impervious to the sin, the blight, and mildew of that old vine. The promised one stands infused instead with the Spirit of God. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, knowledge, and reverence of God. This green shoot, a promised leader on the horizon that Isaiah sees, is the antithesis of the former injustice and death. Justice and mercy, instead, are the hallmarks of this ruler who will reign forever and ever, the prophet says. Another way is possible, says the local patriot Isaiah. And he offers the hope of God's future to a people who can see before them only a dead vineyard. To my knowledge, James and Deborah Fallows didn't spend a lot of time in churches as they traveled to the towns that they went to across America. But we know that churches experience the same sort of hollowing out and challenge that is evidenced in many of those small towns that they saw. The disorientation of cultural decline and change. At an event I was at on Friday night, our conference minister, Sherry Prestinger, pointed out that of the 130 churches in the United Church of Christ in the Minnesota Conference, six of them have closed in the last 6 years. She highlights the changing demographics of the rural landscape as a big part of this. But congregations in every part of the state, including here in the metro, have seen the diminishment that comes at the end of 1,500 years. Of Christendom, which is to say Christian dominance in the public square, as well as in places, churches like this. Gone are the so-called glory days when most people felt guilted to come to church. You ought to be there. When churches had a monopoly on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Those days are gone. Isaiah the prophet would ask what had been accomplished with what was 1,500 years of a well-tended vineyard that nevertheless preferred oftentimes to count the number of people inside rather than the address the needs of God's justice and righteousness everywhere. In some ways, that's the challenge of Christendom. Mainline Protestant churches have sometimes produced the wild fruits instead of institutionalism, protecting our own status quo protectionism, of white male privilege, or of ecological devastation. For these and other reasons, the vineyard of Christendom has been broken down. And we are living in those days when the protective walls are no longer there. And we're invited to see what God is doing instead in this strange new place. But even as some would mourn the shrinking of the vine, Isaiah points us to God's faithfulness instead. Church now has the opportunity to be the green, playful, creative new shoots of God's new beginnings. Growing from the stumps of former things, new life in places where others might assume are entirely in decline. In order to live into the calling, to be God's new shoots, Deborah and James Fallows would suggest we'll need a crop of our own local patriots. People of leadership, energy, vision, and just plain hard work. Local patriots. There you are! I can do theater. By the grace of God, there you are. We are gathered as church this morning, and every time we gather, a group of faithful, courageous people who assemble here as the local patriots of Edina Morningside Community Church and the community beyond. We're drawn here today less from a sense of obligation or wagging finger guilt, and more from the conviction that God has good use for us in the world. We sing, we speak, we pray our praise in this assembly, and then we see how God remains committed throughout the rest of our lives to raising up the green shoots of love and justice and righteousness. You show up again and again, many of you, week after week, to Bible study and rehearsals and service opportunities and trainings and public meetings, because we believe in the power of God to bring green shoots of joyful, playful, new life from dry stumps in the church and in the world. This is not to say that all that was bad and all that is new is good, but it is to say that God calls us to invest and to create new, building on what has been. And so we commit our money, our time, our talents, not only today, but every single week when we receive offerings, so that God's deliverance continues to be manifest through this place. The story of God's faithfulness calls us together every week and sends us out those doors with renewed hope. Thank you for being our local patriots here, committed to the goodness that is possible in this community through our work together. Such a vision might sound naive or foolishly idealistic if we have been drinking too much from the font of cynicism and apparent decline. But in fact, this is what we expect from the God we know in Scripture, whose loving justice is made radiantly visible in the life of Jesus Christ. God is the ultimate local patriot, Isaiah would say, the ultimate force committed to good in every place, raising up new life in places of decline. Instead of walking away from failed vineyards, like the first part of Isaiah would say, God brings new life into them, as in Isaiah chapter 11. Even when bloodshed and terror take the place of justice and righteousness, even when all that was supposed to be good has turned bad, God is faithful to transform, prune, and deliver. God doesn't walk away. A green shoot comes up from the stump of what has been, and God works salvation anyway, Isaiah says. We see this again and again in Scripture. God is faithful to protect the first disobedient humans rejected from Eden, stretching a rainbow promise in the sky for Noah after the flood, giving words of conviction to timid Moses, forming new family for Ruth and Naomi in their grief, singing to exiles, bringing them home. When God's own child was nailed to a cross and died by human hands, God said no, rolled the stone away, and brought forth new life in the very place of death. God is faithful, and still is to this day. When the worst beasts of human terror and sin are unleashed in the world, God still judges the wrong and leads towards right, wiping away tears from our eyes and putting a song in our hearts. God is faithful. This is the essential good news of faith. So we together commit that to the life God is calling forth from us. As I and others place pledges and offerings in the plates today, we pledge ourselves most importantly, and then our stuff as well, if we can. Then see what God can grow with us here next. Thanks be to God for this invitation.